1982, Harry's Wrigley debut. The game, Chicago Cubs 5, New York Mets nothing, at Wrigley Field, Chicago, Illinois. Attendance, 26,712. On Friday, April 9th, 1982, the weather, brutal, cold and rainy. Hall of Famers, Cubs pitcher Ferguson Jenkins, Lee Smith, third baseman Ryan Sandberg, and coach Billy Williams. Game highlights. An April snowstorm had barreled through Chicago earlier in the week, canceling the Southside White Sox first two games of the season on Tuesday and Thursday. With plenty of snow, ripe for snowballs, in the stands, but the field clear to play, except when littered with said snowballs, the Northside Cubs opted to tough it out on Friday despite the incredible cold, 34 degrees at game time, and drizzle. Many stayed home and others enjoyed the atmosphere for about an inning before heading home. The hardiest among them saw two future Hall of Fame pitchers, Fergie Jenkins and Lee Smith, shut out the hapless Mets. Those who stayed might not have done so for the baseball, but rather the Wrigley Field debut of someone Cubs fans would cherish for 16 seasons, Harry Carey, and his rendition of "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" during the seventh inning stretch. The story. By senior year of college, the Chicago White Sox were firmly entrenched as my favorite team. A few one-time Washington Senators were still active around the majors, but I had moved on, although seeing my idol Frank Howard coach third this day for the Mets did warm my heart. That connection 3 years earlier on opening day 1979 to Harry Carey was more about having a good time at the ballpark. Since the White Sox 1982 season opening series earlier in the week was wiped out by snow, and classes at Notre Dame were canceled for the Easter weekend, the possibility of following Harry uptown presented itself. I asked Craig if he wanted to go see Harry at Wrigley. The answer was a resounding, "Hell no!" Craig's loyalty to the White Sox was much more mature than mine. I did not fully appreciate the need to choose sides in the Windy City's Civil War, North or South. Breaking local protocol to follow Harry, I recruited Dave Dietzick, another Chicago native and co-worker at The Observer and WSND, for a trip to Wrigley Field. Just as loyal as Craig was to his White Sox, David was to his Cubbies. And yet, I brought to the ballpark that day a new treat for David, Harry Carey. David had the courage to pursue a post-college career in baseball. He was instrumental in developing the earliest MLB All-Star Fan Fest in the early 90s and spent time working for the Texas Rangers during George W. Bush's time as managing general partner. Thanks in large measure to Harry's unprecedented exposure on national cable superstation WGN, a younger generation of baseball fans across the country, even some in Chicago, perceived incorrectly that the heavens opened one spring day in 1982 and Harry Carey descended on a cloud with a microphone and a clever idea to start a new ballpark tradition by singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" during the seventh inning stretch. The true story is better. By the time Harry completed his 11th and final season with the White Sox in 1981, the 68-year-old already had been broadcasting baseball for more than 35 years, including 23 with the St. Louis Cardinals. In the 1950s, he could be heard calling Cardinals games well beyond St. Louis on powerful KMOX radio. For decades in everyday conversations, fans throughout the Midwest might fall into Harry impersonations, intoning his signature line of "Holy cow!" or reciting his home run call of "It might be, it could be, it is!" The iconic song that helped embellish his brand dates back to the earliest part of the 20th century and has been sung at baseball games for decades. But not like this. The idea of singing with the fans was not Harry's. And initially, he was not pleased when it happened for the first time without his knowledge. Bill Veeck took ownership of the White Sox in 1975 and continued his decades-long search for the right person to lead fans in this game day ritual. One night, he noticed Harry singing the song. The next night, Vex secretly installed a stadium microphone in the radio booth so all could hear, much to Harry's surprise. In April 1996, Harry opened up to Nancy Gay of the San Francisco Chronicle about that night.
"When the game was over, I walked up to Vec and said, 'What the hell was that all about?' He said, 'Harry, I've been looking for 45 years for the right man to do this, sing this song.' I began to puff up with flattery. 'Yes,' he said, 'everybody, no matter where they're sitting, as long as they heard you, they knew they could sing better than you, so they'd join in.'"
Countless books and articles have been written over the years about the career and antics of Harry Carey, as well as his broadcaster son and grandson, Skip and Chip. He empowered generations of baseball fans to stand up at the old ball game and root, root, root for the home team, knowing that if they didn't win, they'd sing again tomorrow, just as off-key as Harry. For the box score and play-by-play, visit OpeningDay5050.com.